Would you join me as we say together the model prayer from the Bible? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you for being here this morning. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 to 23, the apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's writing about the fact of Christ's resurrection. He says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep." That means they died. "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ at his coming. It's hard to believe that it is Resurrection Sunday 2024 today. When I think about that passage of Scripture as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, to those Christians, and there were some that did not understand. There were some that were believing that there was not a resurrection. And Paul writes to the church to make the affirmative claim that Christ has risen from the dead. When I think about a lot of religions in the world today and their founders, I'm reminded that Abraham's founder is the founder of the Jewish nation, Judaism. Abraham died, he was buried. Buddha is the key figure of Buddhism, but Buddha also died. Muhammad is the key figure of Islam, but he too has died and was buried. Joseph Smith is the key figure of Mormonism, but he died as well. In fact, whenever you ask Mormons, when you really get down to it, what do you really believe about Jesus? They have to say he's the spirit brother of Lucifer. When I think of Hinduism, it had no single founder, but each of its prominent leaders have died, and every one of them stayed physically dead. When I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and you ask them, who is Jesus, and you get beyond the layers, then they have to say, he is the Archangel Michael. I want you to know this morning, only biblical Christianity claims to have a leader that died for the sins of his people and was bodily raised from the dead. And today is Resurrection Sunday, 2,000 plus years since that resurrection day. Vladimir Lenin was a driving force behind the communist revolution in the year 1917. He was the first dictator, young people, of the Soviet Union. Lenin died in the year 1924, and his body is still on public display there in Russia. Periodically, those that are responsible for Lenin's body, they have to take him out of that glass case, and they wash the corpse with various chemicals, and then they repair areas that have become damaged. Today, there's little of linen. Most of what you see is just wax and makeup. When Dr. Adrian Rogers, who was pastor of Bellevue Church, Memphis, Tennessee, for many years, when he was living, he and his wife Joyce visited Russia. They went to the tomb of Lenin. Now, they were given strict instructions, as all visitors are when they go there, that they are not to speak one word as they walk through the mausoleum. Dr. Rogers said that his wife, Joyce, who normally would always follow the rules, when she came to every guard, Joyce said, "My Jesus is alive. My Jesus is alive." To every guard in Lenin's tomb, she said, "My Jesus is alive." Not one of the guards responded whatsoever to her, and she remarked to Adrian, her husband, she said, "I just want them to know that my Savior is not in a tomb." And that's the good news that we share this morning. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Would you do that? The risen Christ this morning. Let me tell you, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, the tomb is empty over there in the Holy Land. But I want you to know Jesus is not entombed this morning. Jesus is enthroned in the throne room of heaven in the presence of the Father, where the Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Let me give you three quick points this morning about the resurrection. First of all, the prophecy of the resurrection, the prophecy of his resurrection. Let me tell you, the resurrection was not an event about which men knew nothing about. In fact, the resurrection had been predicted before that it ever happened. The psalmist spoke about it in Psalm 16, the psalmist spoke about it in Psalm 22. Isaiah spoke about it there in the Old Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have spoken about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know the resurrection was pictured before it ever took place. Isaac, there in the Old Testament, there on the altar, was a picture symbolically, an Old Testament picture of when Christ would rise. Jonah, in the book of Jonah, would rise from the whale of the belly. And so the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, even Jesus spoke about Jonah being in the belly of the whale. You see, the prediction of the resurrection and its fulfillment is proof that Jesus is worthy of our worship and praise this morning. Do you believe that? Amen. Let me tell you, one day there was a little girl, and she was telling her faith about Jesus, that she loved Jesus. Oh, how she loved Jesus. And as she shared her faith and proclaimed her faith, she would tell everybody that she saw, "I love Jesus." There always has been. There always will be a smart aleck. nearby that responded to that little girl and said, "Which Jesus? Which Christ? Aren't there many?" And the little girl was very clear. She did not back down one iota. She said, "Sir, there are lots of pretenders out there, but I worship the only one that rose from the dead." Let me tell you, not only do we see that the prophecy was fulfilled in the scriptures, that the prophecy of his resurrection, but we see, secondly, the proof of the resurrection. You see, when Paul spoke there, he spoke about the proof of the resurrection, the proof of human reasoning. I mean, the Romans had placed a guard or guards there around the tomb. They had sealed the tomb, for there had been a conspiratorial group that were saying that the disciples might come and steal the body. And so the tomb was sealed and the tomb was guarded. Let me tell you, there is proof positive today. The fear and the weaknesses of those disciples, they couldn't have stolen the body. And the Romans sure weren't going to steal the body. And so that only left one thing: God. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, we read what the writer of Hebrews said: "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus, our Lord." Let me tell you, there's the proof of human testimony. No less than six times Paul recorded here in our passage for this morning how that Jesus appeared to Cephas, and then he appeared to the apostles and those disciples, and he goes on about he appeared in the presence of 500 witnesses at one time. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people this morning all over the world who do not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the year 2024, there are some now presently 8 billion people worldwide. Out of that 8 billion people worldwide this morning, there are some 2.5 plus billions who claim to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, the proof of human nature. Generally, people would not die for a lie. And those disciples, when it started out with that little ragtag team of 12 men, and then it grew to 120, it grew to the day of Pentecost of 3,000 people, and to the present time that you and I live in, followers of Jesus today, some 2.5 plus billion of this world's 8 billion people believe in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And then there's this proof of just common experience. You see, those disciples were saddened. They were grief-stricken on that Friday, but I want you to know, on Sunday, when they had met the risen Christ, their lives had changed forever. Their sorrow had turned to joy, and their excitement went out all over the world to tell people about this Jesus. And the only explanation is that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And then there's the proof of changed lives. Changed lives. You think about some 2.5 billion presently living whose lives have been changed, not to mention all of the other millions and millions of people, billions that have been born into this world and have believed and trusted in the resurrected Christ. And let me tell you this morning, there are proof of these changed lives. Look around you this morning, all over this sanctuary, the proof of changed lives because of the resurrected Christ. Dr. Harry Reimer was lecturing one day in a certain place. He was giving question times and answer times, and there was a young Jewish boy who stood up and he said to Dr. Reimer, "What did Jesus Christ do that no one else ever did?" And Dr. Reimer answered him like this. He said, "Young man, you're a Jew, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I am." Dr. Reimer said, "Would you agree with me that the Romans, during their day, crucified at least 30 6,000 young Jewish men. And the young man looked at Dr. Reimer and said, yes, I know that is true. And Dr. Reimer continued and he said, all right, young man, I'm going to name one of those 30,000 who was crucified and you name another one. Dr. Reimer said, I name Jesus Christ. The young man looked at him and said, sir, I cannot name another one. Folks, let me tell you, time is a great leveler. And the only name among those 30,000 that the Romans hung on crosses, the only name is one name, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate on this Resurrection Sunday morning. Let me tell you, Satan hates Jesus. The world hates Jesus. The demons hate Jesus. I was reading on Christian Post just yesterday or the day before where one of the mega churches in North Carolina this morning has chosen. They have said, we are not going to mention the word blood on Resurrection Sunday. We're not going to mention the word resurrection on Resurrection Sunday. We're not going to mention the word Calvary on Resurrection Sunday. And as I began to read about the heavyweights that weighed in on that to be very critical of that church, because they said, we don't want to offend anyone. Folks, I want you to know I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the risen Savior in whom I have placed my trust. When Carla sang that song a few moments ago about the blood, I could not help but think somewhere there in North Carolina, in a mega church this morning where there are thousands of people, they will not hear the word resurrection. They will not hear the blood of Jesus, which it's only the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all our sins. And I thought about that and I thought how sad that a church would cave to the wokeness of the culture instead of standing up and saying, thus saith the risen Christ who arose over death, hell, and the grave to give me life everlasting. Let me tell you. And then there's this scientific proof of the resurrection through the archaeological digs that they have done, the scientific evidence they have done. There have been many who took the various evidences of Jesus and to try to prove that it was not true, and they have come away, many of them, convicted of their sins and gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, the prophecy of his resurrection was recorded in both Old and New Testament. The proof of his resurrection, Paul gives us six different proofs there in chapter 15 for this morning. And third and lastly, what is the purpose of the resurrection? Paul spoke about it in verses 13 to 23. First of all, the resurrection activates the gospel. It activates the gospel. When Jesus was ascending back to heaven on the Mount of Olives and his disciples were standing there and they were gazing into the heavens, let me tell you, Jesus gave them their marching orders to go and teach and preach the gospel. And because of that, today, some 2.5 plus billion in the present day that we live have received the wonderful message of the gospel, and the resurrection of Jesus authenticates that. And then the resurrection arranges for our justification. Romans chapter 4, Paul was writing to the Roman church. He said, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. When you and I come to a place in our life, we are convicted of the Holy Spirit. When we come to that place that we are accountable to know right from wrong, and we reach out through faith, and we receive God's wonderful gift of grace, when we realize that there's nothing that could wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus, and when we receive Jesus, let me tell you, we are justified. We stand in His righteousness, and His righteousness alone, as if we had never sinned. Let me tell you, I'm grateful that the resurrection also anticipates our future. Let me tell you, Jesus said, "I'm coming again someday." Aren't you grateful for that this morning? Let me tell you, Matthew chapter 28, verse 6 says, when the angel said, "He's not here, for He has risen," just as He said, "Come see the place where He was lying." Let me tell you, because of one day in history, back in April of AD 33, Jesus Christ, He yawned and stretched and rose from the dead. And because of that one day, it changed the world forever. The songwriter said it well, Jesus is still the answer, though time and ages roll. Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. And though some may say He doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is still the answer. He's always been and He always will be. Let me tell you, James Allen Francis put it so well. And I'm going to say this, and I've asked Keith and Sharon to come and close this resurrection sermon this morning with a song in a few moments. But let me say this about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the risen Christ. He was born in an obscure village, a child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never had a family or owned a home. He never set foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never wrote a book or held an office. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of those trials. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While Jesus was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had, his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he's still the central figure for much of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all of the navies that ever sailed, all of the parliaments that ever sat, and all of the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as this one solitary man, and his name is Jesus.
We all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the guard in the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so long? Then came the morning, night and day. The stone was rolled away, hope rose with the dawn. Morning had come. till the star begins from afar, wetting the water and the wine.
Now it was done. They'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She'd watched him die too. She'd heard them call him, "He's just a man." But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again.
Then came
Thank you. Would you stand with your heads bowed, your eyes closed as we come to this time of invitation? This morning, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never, ever asked Jesus to come into your heart. The Bible tells us that salvation is so plain that a child can understand it. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, you died for my sins. Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and life. I know you died, you shed your blood, you were buried, you rose on that resurrection morning. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. If you're here this morning, you've never prayed that, would you just there in the pew ask Jesus to come into your heart? Maybe you're here this morning and you've wandered far away from God. You just want to say, Lord, I just want to renew my faith and trust in you on this Resurrection Sunday morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home, and we want to invite you to come and be a part of this great fellowship of believers. As the music is playing, if you need to come, let the Holy Spirit lead you in these quiet moments. God bless you. Thank you for being here on this Resurrection Sunday. What an awesome crowd. God bless you. We're so grateful you chose to come and worship with us here today.